Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. And we'll also be going to chapter 21. Title of our sermon this morning is Tears in Heaven. Tears in Heaven. Would you please stand with us as we read from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, and beginning at verse 15. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple? And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I believe these tears are not the same type of tears that we'll find in a little bit in Revelation chapter 21. But interestingly, our God is a merciful God, a tender God. You know, the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. But the fact of the matter is, to be in the hands of a loving God is a very precious thing. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Protect us this morning as we look into your word. May the evil be bound and cast out. And Lord, may we serve you faithfully until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If you would, as you sit, turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Isn't it good to know that God wants us to be with him? Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. So why will there be tears in heaven that God will wipe away if there is no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain? These are personal thoughts. Number one, I believe there will be tears of joy. I was planning on using this sermon next Sunday, and I thought, no, I'm going to use it today on this Faith Promise Sunday day. There will be tears of joy in heaven because we will see God. Don't you think that'll be exciting? To see God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine what that's going to be like? As we see the creator of the universe, the ones who provided the salvation that we sing about. Oh, folks, there will be tears of joy when we come face to face with our Lord. And I've often wondered, how long will we lay before our Lord as we think of all that was done on our behalf? I think there will be tears of joy when we see the beauty and majesty of heaven. Yesterday, my son Matthew was there in Grand Rapids, and as it had been raining and there was now a rainbow, he sent us a picture of this rainbow, and it's just very beautiful. In fact, I'd be willing to show it to you afterwards at no cost. And we think of the beauty in our world. And folks, there are a lot of beautiful places. But it will not be able to compare to the beauty of heaven and its majesty, and it will bring tears to our eyes. Now, that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I believe there will be tears of joy when we see the Bible characters that we've read about and studied about down through the years. When you see people like Joseph and Ruth and Timothy, and we could put in the blank space any of the favorites that you have. I believe it's going to bring tears. I remember being at a Bible conference, and a man talked about his wife that had spinal meningitis and how that she basically lost everything. And then he talked about the miracle of God healing her. Now, we didn't know that she was sitting in the auditorium. At the end of the service, he had his wife come up on the platform. Can I tell you this? There were not many dry eyes in that auditorium of over 5,000 men and women. So I think there are going to be tears of joy when we see the Bible characters. I think we're going to have tears of joy when we see the believers down through the histories, the Billy Sundays, the evangelists and pastors that have remained faithful down through the years. I believe we're going to have tears and joy when we see these people who have gone before, the witnesses of the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. Tears of joy. But can you imagine seeing your loved ones there? Your parents or siblings, grandparents, other relatives who are there, and you see them? Now, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know. But I remember being in a service where a pastor got up and he was preaching about those we will see in heaven. And he said to those mothers who have lost a child in before that was born due to a miscarriage or maybe to an abortion, that God will introduce you to them. And there'll be tears of joy when you see that child that you never had. And then I believe there's going to be tears of joy in seeing the joy of the angels who sang at your conversion, because there was joy in heaven over one that repented. Oh, it's going to be a marvelous time. And I believe there'll be tears, and God will wipe them away. And I wish I could end then, right there. But I believe there will be tears of shame, tears of regret, things we wish we had not done, regret, sorrow over lifestyles that we decided we were going to live even though we knew that was wrong, over the actions and attitudes that we had. And we're going to think, why did I do that? Why, Lord, did I betray you? Why didn't I stand up for you, Lord? And there'll be tears of regret. But then there'll be tears of remorse for those that are not there. I want you to ponder that. For those that are not there, for parents that are not there because they never accepted Christ as their Savior. I don't remember the year, and it really doesn't matter, and I won't give you the name of the man, but he began attending our church. He was saved out of the Roman Catholic doctrines that were taught and came to know the Lord and was very faithful here at the church. And then his mother died. And he said to my dad and myself, he says, I have two choices. He says, I either have to believe that my mother, who never accepted Christ the way that you teach, is today in hell, or I have to believe that she's there. And he said, I cannot attend your church. And he never came back. See, that we will have remorse over parents that aren't there, over children that are not there. Now, let me say this, that just because a child came forward and said they want to be baptized doesn't mean they accepted Christ as their Savior. I am always very careful when I talk to a child that make sure they know why they want to be baptized. And yet I know that there are children who are on our church membership rolls who have been baptized in our baptistry who will not be there because they never accepted Christ as their Savior. They never believed. And I always feel sorry for a child who grew up in a home where the parents knew the grace of God, but were never told. And you say, oh, that doesn't happen. Are you kidding me? It happens all the time. They get out of church because church doesn't mean anything to them anymore. And they've got their eyes somewhere else, and they are, as I say, they're going to pleasure their children right into the pit of hell. We need to make sure that our children know, not just the songs and not just the verses, but that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Your brothers, your sisters, do they know Christ? What type of testimony are you to them? I believe there will be tears of regret. I believe there will be tears of remorse. I believe there will be tears upon reflection. Things we wished we had done for the cause of Christ. You know, our life is short, and only what's done for Christ will last. Things we wish we had done for Christ, like church attendance. I don't understand why people don't go to church. I don't understand. I was brought up in church, and I have been in church my whole life. I thank God for that. I'm not trying to say I'm better than anyone. But I believe this, that there will be tears in heaven because people will realize that they didn't go to church when they easily could have gone. They allowed other things to simply get in the way. There'll be tears. There'll be tears in heaven because we didn't give the way we should. Number one, I believe every Bible-believing Christian should tithe. And I don't understand why they don't. I heard a pastor once say that he'd rather live on 90% with God's blessing than to have 100% and not have God's blessing. I have said this before, you cannot outgive God. And I believe that there'll be tears in heaven when we think about the fact that things that we purchased at the cost of not tithing, of not giving to missions. But it'll be too late. Tears in heaven. Oh, there'll be the tears of joy over all the positive things we just mentioned, but there'll be tears in heaven over those that did not attend the way they should have, did not give the way they should have, did not pray the way they should have. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I believe that giving is far easier than praying. One of the hardest things you will do as a believer is to pray. Because as you're praying, Satan gets in the way and tries to take your mind down another road. He gets you on a detour, and the next thing we know, we're thinking about something else. But there'll be tears in heaven because simply we didn't carry on the conversations with the Lord the way we should have. And how about Bible reading? You know, it's good to read such things as the Baptist Bread. And then we have the Days of Praise out there. And, of course, they are three-month publication. And it's good to read those. But it's good to read the Word of God also, to read the Bible. But then upon reflection, there'll be tears because we were not a better testimony and witness for Christ. Do you think it's a good thing to do to leave a track when you're finished the meal over here at one of your favorite restaurants? I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to talk to your fellow workers. One thing I have found in beginning part-time over here where I've been at, it's amazing how many questions they have. You just talk to them. Talk about the need of salvation. To many, amazing how many people have religion who have no idea what it means to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And God shall wipe away all tears, no more death, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain or sorrow, for the former things are passed away. And Christ will wipe away our tears. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Do you ever realize what a blessing it is to have a Bible? You ever think about that? A few years ago, Paul Hamilton, missionary in Moldova, came to our church. And he told the story of going to a factory with Bibles. And when the news that there were Bibles available in the lobby, what do you think the percentage was of those workers working in the factory that came to get a Bible? Now in America, if we said there are Bibles in the library, in the lobby, to any of those that want that, you could have it, probably not many. Number one, we've all got Bibles. What do you think the percentage was that went to get Bibles? 100% of those men and women that were in that factory went to get a Bible. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? It ought to be precious. As we listen to Brother Levesque going to Dearborn Heights to begin a Baptist church there, right in Dearborn Heights, in one of the most Arab full population in Michigan. Aren't you glad you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and not just religion? As we had Brother Al Stone bearing precious seed to Canada and their desire to send to every Canadian home, copies of John and Romans. What a blessing it is so that we can help in that endeavor. As Brother Schultz was talking to us about Tanzania and the hunger they have for the Bible, what a blessing it is to give to missions. We call it faith promise because you pray to the Lord and you say, Lord, I will give this by faith. And it could be sacrificial. It could be money that you could be spending on a new car or a new boat or new clothes or new jewelry or something there in the house. And you say, no, Lord, I'm going to give so that others may know. Now, I know the Bible shows us that God loves a cheerful giver and that we should give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. But then to give above and beyond, sacrificially. Don't you think God will reward that? Don't you think that God is going to bless it when we give above and beyond? Now, I'm not trying to play on people's emotions. The last thing I want to do is to have someone fill out the form that you found in your bulletin that talks about committing to the Lord to missions over the next year. And have you signed some number that later you regret? But what I'm asking is, are you willing to give to missions? $5 a week? $20 a week? $50 a week? $100 a week? Oh yes, we have people that give $100 a week to missions. And we have people that give more than that. And we thank you for the support of the worldwide mission outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church. Tears in heaven. Oh, there'll be tears of joy. I can't wait to see my mother and my dad again and my brother Bob. The last time I ever saw my brother Bob alive was on a Sunday morning. And I had led the singing and I went down those steps, and I went down that aisle, and about where Pastor Stephen is, my brother was standing, or sitting, about to sit. And I shook his hand and wished him good morning. I look forward to seeing him again. I look forward to seeing Michael Ancliffe. Do you remember Michael? We would pull him up on the platform in his wheelchair, and he would sit over here and sing with the choir. I look forward to seeing him. I remember wanting to see Mrs. Peterson, who used to sit in a wheelchair over here. And if you look in about four of the pews, you see where she scraped the wood from her wheelchair right over here. I look forward to seeing Mrs. Peterson again. I look forward to seeing Don Cochran, one of our church deacons. I look forward to seeing him. What a blessing. Don Cochran was the deacon that said when the church was struggling financially, we need to take on another missionary. There are other men and women I could name who have gone on to those, to their reward. But you know, it's going to be a blessing when you see someone from Mexico or Brazil, when you see someone from Europe or Africa, who's going to come up to you and say, thank you for sending a missionary. Thank you. Because you gave, a missionary came and offered the peace that no one can offer other than Jesus Christ. I think of our missionary in Eastern Russia and the men and women who have come to know the Lord through his ministry. What a blessing. I think of one of the recent missionaries we have taken on, Todd Painter and his wife there in Thailand. Now, he's about 6'6", much taller than those who live in Thailand. And those who have come to know the truth. Oh, they have lots of religion in Thailand, but they need Jesus Christ. There will be joy in heaven over those from all the nations that will come and bring honor and glory to the Lord in their praises and singing. Those are the type of tears I want to have. And I'll be honest with you, I dread those other tears. I dread the idea that the Lord would be disappointed with what I could have done and should have done. Shall we stand together, number 17, have thine own way, Lord. Maybe this morning you would like to come and pray and ask the Lord what he would have you do for missions. Maybe you'd like to come and pray and say, Lord, just help me to be a better missionary here in Sterling Heights or Utica or Shelby Township or Clinton Township or the surrounding areas. Maybe you'd just like to come and get things right with the Lord. You don't have to worry that someone's going to say, well, I wonder why they went forward. It's none of their business. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the thoughts that we're able to give this morning. Thoughts that would encourage us, Lord, to remain faithful to you, both in our attendance and in our giving and in our living. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.